So let's do the Gemara. So we're going to start getting into the heart of the sugya here. Or the part that I'm interested in. So we're going to start with Mechasim and Aleph. About 10 lines in the bottom, beginning of the line. Ahi Amsa Dehavas Pumbadisa. So there was a maidservant. So who was in Pumbadisa? So people were doing Yisurim with her. Okay, they were sleeping with her. Okay. So Amar Abaye, he loved Amar Yudah Mishmuel, called Mashachar of the Obasai. If not for the statement of Yudah and Mishmuel that someone who frees his servant violates an Asai, have a Kayafna Le Lamara, the Kasiv Lechsivla Gita de Cherusa. So I would force her master and make him write a get of freeing her. Okay? This is again, Lama Chesim and Aleph, 10 lines of Madam. So I would force her. I'd force the guy to free her because there's a problem here. But what am I going to do? There's an Isser. I'm not allowed to free her. So Ravina Omar, Ki Hamodar Vyura, Misha Masli Surah. What do you mean? Vyura agrees in this type of case that you're allowed to free her because of the Isser. Right? So what are you worried about? Because of the Asai. But what do you mean? This is an exception. So it sounds like Abaye really, the Gemara is asking. It sounds like Abaye didn't care about this, or he held saucer. So what do you mean? There's a story of a woman who was a half shivcha, half baskoran. Okay. Do you guys know about that?
How does that work?
So it works is that you have two partners who own a servant, and one of them frees half. So it turns out the status is like a funny status. It's chetzi aver chetzi ben choron. Okay, so it's a bad state because the guy's stuck. He can't marry the woman's stuck. Can't marry a Jew. Can't marry an eved, because if he marries a Jew, the eved part of him is not allowed to. If he marries an eved, the Jew part's not allowed to. So he's like a kind of a state, which is like a bad state. So the question is, you have to free him or whatever. But basically, so they freed her. And the reason why, he forced Eved to free him. And why? Because people were basically using her as a sexual object. So you see, this is an open case. So how can Abaye hold? He can't free a person even in the case of mitzvah. It seems this is an open story which happened. And this is why this is an asura. This is why it happened. That's why they freed her. And apparently Abaye can't argue with this. Right? So it says, Rahakyashna Hasan Lavid Khazibin Khorum Khaziacha F Shadmiachilavda, you mitterla. So he says, no, the kids aren't comparable, because in a case of the Khazi Khazbaskaran, you can't give her to any man. She can't have a husband at all. You can't give her a Jewish husband, you can't give her a Eved husband. Because each half, because half and half. But by a full Eved, a full Shifcha, so you can always just designate her to an Eved man. And he'll watch her. People won't necessarily be messing around with her if she's designated to an eved. So therefore, Abaye was saying that there is a solution. So you can't violate the asai of freeing her because there's another way out. So there's another way out. Apparently, it was a better way out was just to free her. But since there's another way out, it's basically to have the master designate her. So therefore, you have no right to do the asai. Which is interesting, but at least that's what Abaye held. Okay, the point main point in this part of the Gemara is you see that if it really was a problem, if there was no way out, so then in order to avoid this pritzos type of thing, you'd be allowed to violate the asai. Right? You'd be allowed to free. Okay, now normally you can't just violate asais because, there are pritzos problems. Asai is the right son. So you're worried about, whatever, but you can't just push aside Nisr. Okay. Okay, further. Gufa, I'm Rabbi Yudah Mishmuel. Kol Mashachar Avdo Over Basai. Shenei Lo Lam Tavodu. Meisvei. We have a question from Raisa. Meisa, Rabbi Elazar, Shnechnas, Basic Nasa. So there's a story. Rabbi Elazar went into the shul. Lomotza Sara. And there weren't 10 people. Vishachar Avdo. Vishachar Avdo. So in order to make the minyan, he freed his Eved. So if you're telling me it's Asar, how can you tell me it's Asar? But there's a... He did it for... He did it. You see, he did it. Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana. Right? So how could you... could you hold? Are you not allowed to do this? Right? Okay. And you'll see later, the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold by the position that there is no Asar. I remember it was yesterday we discussed the question, is it Asar for your Eved or not? But Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's not. So how could you have a problem here? So the answer is mitzvah shiny. For a mitzvah, it's mutter. Mitzvah is different. You're freeing him for a mitzvah, freeing you to get a minion, then you're allowed. That's different. Okay, and the big question is, how are you allowed? Because of mitzvah. Okay, mitzvah is very nice. But how do you violate an isser? Deraisa, because you want to get a minion.
It's not,
right.
It's not an
isser
deraisa.
It's an asai. It's an isser asai. Isser. But I say a little on top of this, you're violating that. So that's a problem. Okay, some of the gersa I think in brachos is mitzvah the rabbim shayna. Mitzvah the rabbim is mutter. Okay, rabbim. Okay, whatever. I mean, it may make a difference, may not. You'll see certain pshat to make make a difference. Learn that as being significant. But this is the big question all the shalom grapple with. How could you possibly do this asai, violate this asai for the sake of getting a minion, which is the halacha of getting a minion is mitzvah, they treat it like a mitzvah drabana. Okay. So, fine. That's the question. Okay? Okay. So, let's look at the Ramban. Okay? So, Ramban takes up the question, among others. So, it says like this. It's the Ramban in the Chidushe HaRamban on the Sechas Gittin on the Chasam Aves. Hadam Reina Mitzvah Shaini V'chim Ibnei Mitzvah L'espal B'tzibor Dachi Aseish B'Torah. Because of the Mitzvah Davin of the Minyan, you push it aside and Asay the Torah, the Oraisa. How could that be? Right? The Efshar Shalom Ratora Lolam Bam Tavodu. The Torah only said Lolam Bam Tavodu, you should work them forever. Because it's saying that you shouldn't give them a gift. You're not allowed to give them a gift. Like it says by Goyim, Lo Sechanim. You're not allowed to do them favors. So if you have an idolater or a guy who's a bit of a tzara, you're not allowed to give gifts to them. So that's halacha. Do them favors. So similarly here, you can't free your Eved Kanani because it's like you're doing him a favor. Okay. But let's say you're freeing him because he's going to pay you. So you're not doing him a favor. You're just going to get the money. He's going to give you the value that is worth to you. Give you $1 million. You're free. I'm not doing him a favor. That's a business deal for me. Oh, mishum mitzvah. B'tzorach harav, or if it's because of a mitzvah, now I need a minion. I'm not trying to do him a favor. I'm doing myself a favor. I want a minion. I have a need. The lekachanina. So then it's not doing him a favor, mutter. Okay. So the isser is it's a type of a favor that is aser to just free him. To just say, listen, I'm going to be a nice guy. I'll free him. He's a nice nice avid. That you know how to do. Just so you know how to do that to a guy. Don't do that. So, but here, since you're not doing it out of kindness, but you're doing it out of mitzvah, so then it's okay. Then it's okay. Alrighty. That's his first answer. Okay, I might as well read a second answer, but they're two totally different answers. But the Yesh Lo Ranami, second answer. Inachanami, the Asya Haim Mitzvah, Vidocha Asesh Torah. Okay? Inachanami, really? See, the first answer was it's not pushing it aside. It's just that it doesn't apply. Because you're doing it for you, not for him. Second answer is no, it really does push it aside. How could it push it aside? How could a minion push aside a real Asay, the Oraisa? He says it could. Shekivan Shabbat, Kodesh Baruch Levetza Knesset, Velomatz Hashem Asara, Miyad Kois. Because the Chazal says that if God comes, and he it's a shul, and he finds 10 people, and he doesn't find the minion, so he gets angry. And because of that, it's not just the regular halacha, getting a minion. In order to make sure God doesn't get angry, kibiyachol. So therefore, we're allowed to violate this asai for a minion. Okay?
He gets angry a lot here.
Yeah, he's angry. Yeah. 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 So you understand this sounds like a difficult answer, right? So, I mean, it's a nice agadic thing that, you know, goes angry, but I mean, halachically, how do you push it aside? Right? I mean, it's pretty strange. Okay, Jonah, that's good. I mean, why isn't he angry when you free a slave? I mean, that's what it says. The Torah says you violate the Torah, open asai. But apparently he's not. But why not? Right? Why not? What does that mean, he's angry? I mean, yeah, why not? I mean, you think, I mean, if you start using that kind of reasoning in halachic decisions, it's even like you get stuck. Well, which one should I do? Well, God, I don't want to get angry at God, and therefore I found that I got it, which says that God gets angry when whatever, therefore I'm going to start. I mean, that's not a way to process the Shilohs in general, right? So, I'd say in a certain sense, I'm not sure about this, but it seems to me it's like the fact that he's giving these kind of answers, that this answer like indicates it's a hard problem. You know, this is not like ordinary kinds of answers you're giving. I mean, you see, all the Rishonim, they all have different answers, very difficult answers. Okay, it's a hard problem, and Rishonim give a lot of all kinds of varied answers, trying to come up with some solution to this problem. Okay, but so the second answer has its own difficulties, which let's leave it till later. Okay, but let's get to the first answer. The first answer is like an ordinary halachic move, and it sounds reasonable. There's a big problem on it, but it sounds reasonable. He's saying just to review, the pshat is that he's saying is that the iser of freeing your eved, it's not an absolute iser to do the action of freeing him. You could free him. You just can't do him a favor. Sort of kind of favor. Freeing him of doing him a favor. But this isn't the freeing him doing him a favor, because you're doing it for yourself. So it's not the answer. Okay, now I'll do a favor for a guy. Yeah, but if you're gonna give your cleaning lady a gift and then she's gonna clean your house better or whatever, that's not doing them a favor. That's like that's an exchange or whatever. I mean, I'm not posking this, but I think that's the way we do, right? I mean, there's an idea of part of doing business is we give people gifts and whatever, and that's just kind of that's not a favor. I mean, I'm giving them a gift, but I mean that's just the mutual the way things work. So that's not a favor. A favor just means I want to do a favor. I'm a nice guy, I'm doing him a favor. So I'm a nice guy, I want to free this guy. That, you know, this is not a favor, this is for myself. Okay, so what's the problem? What's the problem with this answer? He is positing, he's making a chiddush. But he has a right to make this chiddush. He's the Rambam. But the chiddush is that the iser of freeing a slave is not an absolute. Even though it doesn't sound that way, it sounds like all mem tavodu, you have to worship, to serve them forever, make them serve you forever. But he's saying that means because you can't free them, you can't do them a favor. That's what it means. Don't think you could take a slave and then just be a nice guy to them. That's what it means. But he's learning it's not an absolute isser to do a maisa of freeing them. It's really a form of the isser of doing a favor to them. I mean, that's what he's holding. I mean, it's hard to ask him. That's just what he holds it. He can take liberty and say that's what's going on here. So, and there's a different problem. So the Rashba is a kasha. The Rashba is a problem. He says, v'kashali. Even a ger means a ger toshav. Okay, a ger toshav. It's called a ger ochel nevelos. So he's not a ozar, he's just a ger toshav. He says, you're allowed to do favors. Everyone holds that. It's just an akam. A ozar, you're not allowed to. You're not doing favors. The kolshke and eved kanani, shekibel love kol mitzvos ki yisrael. He accepted upon himself all the mitzvos, like a Jew. The crux of the ger shev shechet is nano. It's open pasuk. What do you do in nevela? You take it and you give it to the ger in your gates. What does that mean? The ger, it doesn't mean a Jew who got convert can give him nevela. It means to the ger toshav. So he's a guy though. It's open pasuk. No, you can't argue with that. You're allowed to give tray food to a ger toshav. So he's not Jewish, but he's joined up with the ranks of Klal Yisrael in our mission, even as a guy. So, I mean, an Eved Kanani, forget about it, right? He says, V'shil per kama, the Ozor, Gabi, Ruchim, 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 and so, yeah. He says, so he proves, basically, he just goes along proving that the Ger Tosha, for sure you're allowed to give a gift. He proves it from some Gemaras. He says, V'kol shekein l'eved kanani, Rosh Hashanah is certainly an eved kanani. It's certainly an eved kanani. Question. That's why the Ramban's not saying it's already included automatically under the Isser of Lo Sechanim of doing favors, because it's not. He knows it's not, because that's only to Avodah Zarah. But he's saying it's just like the Torah prohibited that, and as he's saying, so too the Torah prohibited this. It says, Ela Mishum, he says, Lo Amar Torah Lo Amar Tavodu, the Torah only said it, El Mishum Lo Yilite Elohim Anas Chinam. That you shouldn't give them anas chinam, can you not say v'goyim lo sechan? Just like it says by goyim, you're not allowed to do them favors. Right? He's not saying it's an automatic application of the halacha of doing favors, because there's no halacha you're not allowed to do favors to an eved. He's just saying it's just like the Torah prohibited favors to get a goy, it's an akum, right? To a zara, so too it prohibited you from freeing him as a favor. I don't think he's even saying you're not allowed to do favors for an eved. If you want to do a favor and get your Eved a drink, I don't think he's saying you can't do that either. I think he's saying is that this prohibition of freeing your Eved is a freeing of favor. That it's a type of a favor. Just like the Torah prohibited favors there, so to the Torah prohibited favors here. But it doesn't really make sense, though, because over there, it's because he's an Akum. So, but you can't just say, oh, here also it's the same thing. I mean, why? What kind of idea is that? It's totally different. See here, so they quote in the bottom of the Rashba, Chassam Sofer, and say it doesn't mean that it's part of Lo, it's actually Lo Sechanim, that Eser. But it just means, just like the Torah asserted to do favors to a guy, so too it asked you to free him as a, for as a favor. But I think the question is, what's the comparison? I mean, by a guy, it makes sense. I mean, here, if he just means to say is that this also to free him as a favor, then just say that. Why do you have to show me like a guy? A guy has nothing to do with that. A guy is because of a guy. You can't do favors to a guy. This has nothing to do with it. So if you just, it sounds like he's drawing a comparison to the guy, but on the surface, the guy has nothing to do with it. I mean, that's what the Rashi's problem is. It's just, how could you say such a thing? How could you say that there's an issue like that? Okay, I'm thinking like this. Let me take a different case. Okay? An easier case to understand this. Okay, let's say I go to a slave trade, slave block, right? And I see a nice-looking, idolatrous slave. Okay? And I think, I know what, that guy looks like a nice guy. I feel bad for him. And I have an idea. What I do is I'll buy him and free him. Right? I'll basically be redeeming him. I'll buy him, make him into my Eved, and free him. And this is his route to get to freedom. Right? How else am I going to free the guy? Right? I'm sure there are people who did that, back in the day, right? Buy a slave and free him. Right? I'm sure there are wealthy guys who are against slavery. You know, presumably bought a lot of slaves and then just freed them. Right? I assume there are people who did that, right? I don't really know, but sounds reasonable, right? Nice guys, really nice guys. But that's a nice guy. Who are you doing the nice thing for? So essentially, it's an expression of niceness, of kindness to idolaters. It's true, at the moment you free them, they're no longer idolaters. But the expression itself is you're buying him to free him. And you're basically, you're doing a nice thing to an idolater. It's like, it turns out, the moment I do the freeing, he's not an idolater anymore. But the idea is that the Torah, you can imagine the Torah saying is, you're not allowed to do that. Because that's essentially an action which is motivated by compassion for idolaters. And the Torah is against that. You can't do that. So the Torah would say, so to speak, if the Torah would say you're not allowed to redeem an Eved, an idolatrous Eved, and free him, so to speak, redeem, then that would make sense. You can kind of hear that. That would be in line with the idea. Just like you're not allowed to do favors to Goyim, you're the guy, and you're doing him a favor. It's a few steps removed, because you're buying him as an Eved, that's not quite a favor. Then once he's an Eved, he's your Eved, then you're freeing him, but he's not an Akam anymore. So then, that kind of, halachically, you kind of get out of any technical problem. But essentially, what you're doing is you're freeing, you're doing a favor to a guy, to an akum, to idolater. Right? It's just you're doing it in a form which it gets around the problem. So the Torah is saying the Torah can step in and prohibit that. You with me so far? That's the first thing I'm noticing, is that the Qumran saying is just like the Torah prohibited favors to idolaters, so too the Torah is prohibiting a favor to this guy, right? And the Rashba's question is, but this guy's not an idolater. This guy's a regular Jew. He's an Eved Kanani. He's Chayav Mitzvos. So the first thing I'm noticing is he was an idolater. He started as an idolater. Okay, he's not totally removed from being an idolater, even though now he's not. That's the problem. Now he's not. But at that point, he was. Okay? But it's kind of like, I think that's a good direction to go in, somehow. Okay? So now I think there's a halachic move here. It's like, how would the Torah, let's say that's what the Torah wanted to prohibit. Okay, let's say that's what the Torah wanted to prohibit. It wanted to prohibit you from basically redeeming a guy. Okay? From redeeming an idolater. From freeing him, from basically having compassion on him and freeing him, redeeming him and buying him and freeing him. But there are two ways the Torah could have done that. You could have said the Torah just goes by your intention. You're not allowed to buy him in order to free him. Because that's an action of expressing graciousness to an idolater. To buy him almanas or something like that with the intent of freeing him, that you're not allowed to do. That would be the prohibition. Okay, that type of a purchase for the sake of freeing him, that would be like a problem. Okay, but you could have said that. It would be somewhat of a loose halakhic formulation, like for the purpose of why you're thinking. You could have said it, but the Torah did not do that. Rather, what the Torah did is, it says you could take on an eved. You could buy an akum from a guy. Okay, you could buy an akum slave. But on the condition that built into the slavery is that it's an unfreeable slave. You could buy him, but there's a built-in isser, a built-in halacha of lo'olam ha'mtavodu. You're not allowed to free him as a favor. You're not allowed to just buy him and then free him, because you're a nice guy. So it's like, the way the Torah set it up is that built into the status of an Eved Kanani is an isser to free him as a favor. Okay, it's a certain type of freeing him. So that's the way the Torah prohibited you from just saying, I want to do the guy a favor, I'm going to buy him and then free him. It didn't go into your head and saying, what was the reason why you bought him? It just said, you could buy him, and you could have an Eved Kanani. But intrinsic in an Eved Kanani is the Yisr to free him, to do him a favor, to free him, to do a freeing of chayim. Okay? Why? Why did the Torah do that? Because the Torah wanted to prevent a guy from buying an Eved Kanani, a Goyish Eved, as a compassion to buying him and freeing him. So the way the Torah did it is, halachically, it's said that it's intrinsic in the status of Eved Kanani is that you're not allowed to free him. You're not allowed to do a favor to him and free him. Okay, yeah, you can't do a freeing, which is the character of a favor. So it's not that you can't do it because now he's an idolater. It's not like I can't free him now, today. I want to free him because he's an idolater. He's not an idolater. But it's built into the status of an Eved Kanani, and an Eved Kanani starts out as an idolater. So it's like the Torah built into the status of an Eved Kanani. The emergence of the status of an Eved Kanani is built in Isser of freeing him as a favor. And that's a status which applies in the emergence of an idolater becoming an Eved Kanani. So he's, you could take him as an Eved Kanani and never free him as a favor. He's an idolater. You could buy him, but intrinsic and built into the nature of his avdus is the Isra of Lo'olam HaMtavodu, the halacha of Lo'olam HaMtavodu, that you could buy him if you want to have him as an inheritance for your family to pass on Lo'olam HaMtavodu. Yeah, then you can do that. You want it to be, instead of that slave, that guy being his master, you want to be his master because you want slaves? Great, you can do that. That type of an avdus you're allowed to do. But an avdus, which is basically to become the nice master who frees his slaves, that you're not allowed to do. So it's built into the avdus is that issa. But if I want to free him because I need a minion, I want to free him because I have some personal gain in the thing, That's not the Isser. It's not a halacha intrinsically he has to permanently be a slave. It's just a halacha that I can't do a freeing of chayim. Built into the Shem Eved is an Isser of a freeing of chayim. But a freeing of a business decision or of some personal decision, that's not the Isser. That's not built into the Shem Eved. I'm saying is like this state, the halacha is, like we said yesterday, is the shame of an Eved. The Isserat of an Eved has a built-in Isser of a Cheiros of Chain. The Freem is a special Chain. It's a certain type of an action. You're not allowed to do the action of favor, freeing him as a favor. That's part built into the status of an Eved. That's the halachic form of the thing. But the idea is, that's the halachic way the Torah is accomplishing, telling you, you're not allowed to go to an idolater and buy him to free him. That's the way, how did the Torah accomplish that? Buy him with the intent of freeing him. The way the Torah accomplished it is that it set it up as like a Tanai, as a condition in the status of an Eved Ivri, as an Eved Kanani, that you're not allowed to free him as a favor. That's the way halachically the Torah accomplished that idea. Just like the Torah says it doesn't want you to do favors for Goyim, here's a way to do a favor with a Goyim and get a loophole. He's a guy now. You do a favor, you buy him. It's not a favor yet. Then he's an Eved Kanani. Then he's an Eved Kanani. Then I do the Ephraim, so I never done the thing. So the Torah didn't want that. The Torah knows about that. You have compassion for these slaves, the idolatrous slaves. So the Torah, in order to prevent that, what the Torah did is it set up and shouldn't built into the status, the Isser of an Eved Kanani is the Isser of a freeing of Chayin. You with me? So, someone asked a question. I think, I forgot it. Maybe Mike Ben or Jonah asked a question. So what about, it was Jonah. Let's say you have an Eved, an Eved Kanani. You started out as a Ger Toshav. You didn't start out as an idolater. I'm painting a picture here of a guy who started out as an idolater. But that's not necessarily the case. Are you allowed to free an Eved who started out as a Ger Toshav, because an Eved Kanani could be a Ger Toshav, an Eved Kanani doesn't have to be an idolater. And I think it is right. The answer is low plug. Is the Torah codified the thing? Is that it's true there are isolated guys who are Ben Noach, who are about them. I don't know, whatever proportion they are, I don't know. But the Torah is, there's an Eved Kanani, there's an Eved Ivri. There's no category like that. There's no separate category of an Eved Kanani who used to be a Ben Noach. I mean, I think they're much less common than the guys who are idolaters, but it doesn't matter. The point is, in the Torah, because of this guy, because of this Akam, his idolaters, the Torah built into the institution of the Kanani, Lol and Tavotim. But in Echnami, you could have another guy who's not that way, but the Torah has to set up its mechanisms across the board. Across the board, the category is a category of the Kanani. I mean, if I would think probably if majority of slaves were everywhere for Ger Toshavs, it wouldn't really make that much sense, you know. But I don't think majority of the people of them are Ger Toshavs in general. That's the cases like the original cases, the Sheva Amim, is, you know, you go in there and you conquer the land, and then you have these the guys who are not Mishnah idolaters you have to kill when you go into Eretz Yisrael. But then they have the guys who the mothers were from the Canaanim, right? So those are guys. The saying is, you could, you know, you could inherit them. You could take them and inherit them, but lo and behold. Ramban's holding that the Isser of freeing them, says the only reason Torah prohibited you to free them is because, El Mishum, Shalitim Anaschinim, is because Torah doesn't want you doing a favor for them. But if otherwise, you could free them. And that's why, if it's not a favor, if you're doing it for a minion, so then it's fine. It's fine, no problem, because that's not a favor. That's Ramban's Chiddush. Ramban's Chiddush, but Ramban's is giving a reason for the sister. I mean, implicit, I mean, it's not just a reason, because it's the halakhic form of the thing. It's not just philosophy, because it's the form of the thing. It's a freeing of chayin. A certain kind has to have a character of chayin in the thing, a favor. But it's implicit in it that this is the reason. This is the reason. Right, presumably, I don't think anyone else is going to agree with that. That's what the Rashba says. He says, what do you mean? You do a favor to him, he's a good guy. What's the problem? I mean, that's what the Rashba's problem is, he doesn't buy, is he says, yeah, but bottom line is, when I do the favor, So the guy is really a good guy, and I'm doing a favor to a good guy, so it's not Kilo Vazara. It's like kind of, it's a little bit of a force, the Rabban's construct. It's like in order, it's like this, it's like a whole story. It's like the Torah doesn't want you to go to an Akam, idolater, in order to buy him and free him, so therefore the Torah built into this thing. But it turns out the action that I'm doing is a favor to a perfectly good guy. But it's like built into the thing because of the history. I mean, that's the Chiddush. So the Rashba is looking at it the plainer way. I mean, I'm explaining the Ramban. I'm not saying I would say what the Ramban's saying, but I think I'm explaining what he's saying. The Rashba is a simpler way of looking at it. It's like, is that the Baman is, I'm doing a favor to that guy, and he's a good guy. So when I buy him, I'm buying him, that's not a favor. When I free him, he's I'm freeing a guy who's a nice guy, and he's a guy who keeps himself. But the Ramban is going to say it's true, but the Torah built it into the thing in order to, as a prevention of pain to idolaters. So the way the Torah set it up, it's set up a halakhic construct in order to, you know, to avoid that. Yeah. According to the Ramban, it's like, I'm just kind of painting a little bit of a, surmising a little bit, but it's like, the Jews are rachmanim, or compassionate, and the Torah did not want it to be that we're the compassionate nations who goes to the idolatrous slaves and free, buys them and frees them. It's like slaves in general are not free. That's not the way that it works in the world. I mean, slaves are slaves. Who frees their slave? That's, no one does that. But Jews could be a nice nation, so we do it. So we'll be the guys who are the nice idolaters. So the Torah is saying it. It's not like setting up a thing like, oh, now I'm a slave and I don't get to get freed. That's annoying. I mean, slaves aren't freed in general. The only reason slaves are freed is because we're nice. We're very nice. But it's like a misplaced. It's like I can see the Torah could recognize the tendency of the Jews to be involved in that. To just go to some idolatrous nation and basically free all the slaves and to be nice to them, and Torah had to prohibit that. I mean, based upon Rishik from Avodah Zarah. Now, Rishik Zarah is a fundamental in the whole Torah. So now it turns out that you have as a result that you end up having these guys still slaves even though you want to free them. But I mean, it's built upon the original foundation of removing Avodah Zarah and destroying, you know, avoiding a favorite of Avodah Zarah. Yeah. So again, so I'd like to do next the second answer to the Ramban. And there's a rush. The rush is in Rachas. It's in the 4th and the 7th parak. I mean, I think they quote him. I mean, the footnotes here quote him. You can find them. Yeah, Rosh Rachas, parak Zayin Simen Chaf. Okay. He learns from here in general that Darabanan. Oh yeah, a mitzvah derabanan of the rabbim could push the side of the raisa of yachid. Big chiddush. That's what he learns out from here.
Is that drastically different than the second answer of the Ramban?
Well, it is, because it's like, it's not just an exceptional thing because of this funny thing guy getting angry. It's like a universal principle,
right,
that derabanan is pushed off the raisa, which sounds ridiculous because it's a derabanan. So rabbim is very nice, but it's still only a derabanan.
Right.
You know.
And in general, even without that, there's no... Is there a principle that assay is dochen another assay?
No, when you have two assays, it's not. It wouldn't be.
Right.
But there is a thing of assay the Rabban is doch assay the Yachid.
Oh, okay. But here, the Chiddush is that
Darabban is the Raisa. Yeah, normally you'd say Darabban versus the Raisa is nothing. I mean, there's no Darabban in the face of the Raisa. The Darabbans are protecting the Raisa or something like that, you know? Yeah. Alrighty. So I guess we'll shift for tomorrow.